The reading today can be found on page 1103, 1103. It's from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10, and I'm commencing to read at verse 1. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day at about 3 PM, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Peter went down and said to the men, "I am the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, "We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man. He is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to have you come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said. "I'm only a man myself." Talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against the law, our law, for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask you why you sent for me?" Cornelius answered, "4 days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour. At 3 PM, suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the tanner, who lives by the sea.' So I sent for you immediately, and it was good for you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us." Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. As we look at God's word together this morning, let's pray. Oh Lord God, as we come to your word this morning, we pray that you would give us a bigger vision of yourself, of who you are, of your goodness and of your greatness. And that you would give us a bigger vision of your kingdom, of your power to break down barriers and to transform lives. For your glory's sake. Amen. I don't know if you've ever had the experience of agreeing to do something and then afterwards wondering exactly what it is you've let yourself in for. Oh yes, I can help with that. I've certainly been there in a variety of different situations. Someone I know, at the end of a job interview, you know when you get to the end and usually the people doing the interview and they say, well, do you have any questions for us? This friend of mine, they turn around at that point and they say, what do I not know now that in a year's time I'm going to wish you'd told me? That's what they ask back at that point. Something like that. It's quite an interesting question, and I'd love to be a fly on the wall to see what the people on the other side of the table say back to my friend. Certainly, there are a ton of things in my life that if I had known more detail at the beginning, I probably never would have agreed to or said yes to. The gift of hindsight, we often talk about the gift of hindsight. Sometimes I think, oh, that could have been a good thing. But actually, I do think my life would have been a lot more boring if I had known everything that would happen in the future, because I never would have said yes or done many of the things I have. And I'd also probably not have been being faithful to Jesus, following Jesus closely. Because the reality is, the journey of faith, just by definition, is stepping trustingly into the unknown, trusting that the Lord is going to lead you, that he's got you, that he has a plan, that his ways will ultimately bring glory to him. And so there are lots of things in my walk with the Lord that have been absolutely the right thing to do that I probably never would have done if I'd known exactly what the Lord was asking of me. No, Lord, send someone else. And now I look back and I've done things I never would have imagined myself doing. Like, I stand at the front of church and speak to you most weeks. That's just bonkers. And I look back and I think, I never would have done that unless I'd, without having just stepped trustingly into the unknown. Because when you find yourself in a situation, you don't have much choice but to get on with it and to surrender yourself fully to the Lord and to be dependent on him and trust that he will equip you. And the reason for inviting you to think about that this morning is because our reading this morning from Acts 10, it gives us a bigger vision of God's kingdom. And I want us to know that bigger vision. But to know that bigger vision, we have to step trustingly into the unknown with the Lord. We have to let go of ourselves, to surrender ourselves to him, to be fully dependent on him. So this morning we have a bigger vision of God's kingdom, of what it means to be in Christ, to say yes to following Jesus. It's not always easy. It's definitely not always easy. It's a bit like in Narnia. I think Aslan says something like, the children ask of Aslan, oh, he's not safe, but he is good. Some of you might recognise that. That is definitely faith. But my prayer for all of us this morning is that we would just in the next few moments, gain a bigger vision of God's kingdom. Yes, there are likely to be times when we find ourselves thinking, if only I'd known, I never would have. Following Jesus is costly. We've seen that throughout the book of Acts. But we are promised that the joy of the Lord will be our strength. And my own experience is certainly that nothing beats seeking after God's kingdom, living with Jesus as king. Nothing beats that. Not always easy, but nothing beats that. There's a song we sing here at Elmden that has the verse, "Would I gladly be made nothing, that Christ would be made more? Would I seek the only kingdom that far outweighs them all?" You can tell me afterwards if you know the title of that song. Acts 10 gives us a glimpse of God's kingdom. The kingdom that leads the writer of this song to say, "Would I seek the only kingdom that far outweighs them all? Would I gladly be made nothing, that Christ would be made more?" So two thoughts for us this morning. The power of the gospel to break down barriers and the power of the Holy Spirit to transform lives. Now, the key thing that we need to know in order to understand this passage, if you've closed it up, do open it back up again. It's Acts chapter 10, verses 1 to 35. And I'm going to kind of whiz through it. It's quite a long reading, so you will find it helpful to have it in front of you. The key thing we need to know in order to understand this passage is that Cornelius was a Roman centurion and a Gentile. A Gentile is anyone who's not Jewish, a non-Jewish person. So Cornelius is a Roman centurion and a Gentile, a non-Jewish person. Peter is a Jew. So that's the kind of key bit of key information that will help us to make sense of this reading. As a Jew, Peter observed rules around clean and unclean foods, which Cornelius, as a Gentile, did not observe. So hopefully the reading's beginning to make a little bit more sense. It is a little bit weird, that sheet coming down from heaven. So Cornelius, who is God-fearing, who prays to God, has a vision where an angel instructs him to send men to Joppa to bring to him a man named Peter. So Cornelius, a Gentile, has had this vision that he should send men to go and get Peter, a Jew, for the men to bring Peter to him. Meanwhile, Peter is praying and also has a vision. And in Peter's vision, there's this part that's kind of not always immediately obvious to understand. There's a large sheet being let down to earth, and it contains clean and unclean animals. And a voice instructs Peter to eat. So Cornelius has had the vision saying, send men to go and get Peter. And Peter, meanwhile, he's having this vision where the sheet is being let down to earth from heaven with clean and unclean animals and a voice instructing him to eat. Now, Peter is a Jew who observes the rules around clean and unclean food. And so Peter's like, "Whoa, I'm not doing this. I'm not going to eat." He protests because he observes these food rules. He has no intention of eating anything unclean. But the voice challenges Peter, "Don't call anything unclean which God has made clean." We're in verses 14 and 15. At which point, so Peter's having this vision where he's protesting about eating unclean food, at which point the men that have been sent by Cornelius arrive at his home and they ask him to come to Cornelius's house. Peter, he crosses a bit of a barrier here. He invites them in to be his guests. Now remember, Cornelius and his men, Gentiles, Peter, G. So the men have arrived at Peter's house. He's having this kind of slightly strange vision, but he invites them in. And then the next day, he does go with them to Cornelius's house. That's verse 23. When he gets to Cornelius' house, he finds that there's a large gathering, and Cornelius explains his vision and how he sent for Peter in order that everyone present in his house might hear everything the Lord has commanded Peter to tell them. And it's at this point that the penny kind of drops for Peter, and he realizes what this vision that he's had is about. And he says, "Actually, I now realize that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. So at this point in the story, Peter is in, I'm imagining, it doesn't say this level of detail in the reading, but I'm imagining Peter sat in a living room full of people who are not like him. And he's uttering these words, now I realize God does not show favoritism and accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. So throughout the reading, barriers to Peter associating with Cornelius are being broken down. So at the start of the reading, they're kind of living parallel lives. By the end of our reading, they're together in the same living room and the good news of Jesus Christ is being preached. Like, that is a pretty big change of circumstances. And there's a breaking down of barriers throughout the reading. So first, in the vision, when the voice challenges Peter and Peter's like, no, I'm not listening to you. I observe my food rules, not eating anything that's unclean. And the voice, three times Peter's challenged on this. So barriers are beginning to be broken down. And then there's a barrier broken down as Peter invites Cornelius's men into his home. There's a crossing of a threshold that goes on there. That was not the done thing. Then again, as Peter enters the home of Cornelius, verse 28, you are well aware that it's against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. And then finally, as Peter shares the good news of Jesus Christ with Cornelius and all those gathered, you can read about this later in chapter 10, verse 44. All those gathered come to faith in Jesus, and the Holy Spirit comes on all who heard the message, and they're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So we go from the beginning of our reading where we've got Peter and Cornelius living parallel lives to the end of our reading where they're together delighting in the good news of Jesus and all these people have come to faith and been baptized. That's an amazing transformation. That's what the power of the gospel makes possible. Yeah. The gospel of Jesus Christ has broken down cultural and religious divides. It is the good news for Jew and Gentile. The coming of the Holy Spirit means that those who heard about Jesus were not just hearers. Anyone can hear about Jesus. They were receivers, receivers of the good news of Jesus Christ. And as receivers of the good news of Jesus Christ, they became part of the church. So Peter here, his vision of God's kingdom, of what it means to be the church, is increasing. The good news of Jesus Christ is that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Peter knows about the Lord Jesus, but doesn't realize the Lord Jesus is for sharing with the Gentiles. So Peter knows about the Lord Jesus, but he's just practicing his faith over here. Doesn't realize it's for sharing with the Gentiles. Cornelius, on the other hand, this is quite a curious thing to notice. At the beginning of our reading, he's praying to God, yeah? He's described as God-fearing. So Cornelius is a God-fearing person, but he doesn't yet know about the Lord Jesus. So you've got Peter who knows about the Lord Jesus, but doesn't realize it's for sharing. And Cornelius, who's praying to God, but hasn't had an encounter with the living Lord Jesus. God's kingdom is quite simply the kingdom where Jesus reigns, where Jesus is king, where our allegiance is firstly and foremostly to Jesus. So any person who invites Jesus to be their saviour, Lord and king is in. Turning to Jesus is the only criteria. This is the power of the gospel to break down barriers and to bring unity. When we're in Christ, we're in Christ. Our differences don't divide us because we are united in our shared identity as children of God, beloved of the Lord. So all other allegiances, political, cultural, social, any other allegiances, they come under our allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's Jesus that unites. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. If you trust in Jesus, you're in. So that's the first thing I wanted to draw out for us this morning, the power of the gospel to break down barriers. Second thing I wanted to briefly draw our attention to in this reading is the power of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is pivotal in Peter realizing that Jesus is for all people and in Cornelius giving his life to Jesus. So yes, the Holy Spirit comes on all who heard the message. That's in verse 47 after the passage that Margaret read to us. So yes, the Holy Spirit comes on everyone who heard the message. But even before that point, the Holy Spirit is at work. The Holy Spirit's at work in the vision that Peter has, in the vision that Cornelius has. The Holy Spirit's at work in bringing them both understanding. It's the Spirit that says to Peter, get up and go downstairs. Answer the door, Peter. Because three men are looking for you. And it's the Spirit who sent the three men. The Spirit is way ahead of Peter and Cornelius. So Acts 10 is really a story of both of them catching up with what the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is doing. Breaking down barriers, making way for the gospel to go out, not just to Jerusalem, and not just to Judea and Samaria, but to the ends of the earth. So here in Acts 10, we see the power of the Holy Spirit to bring complete transformation to relationships. Not just relationships between like-minded people, but relationships between individuals, but also within communities and in the world. That's how powerful the gospel is. By the power of the Spirit, both Peter and Cornelius are called somewhere new. They're both called to a new, bigger vision of God's kingdom. And I think that's really important to notice. Neither Peter or Cornelius stay where they are. They're both called somewhere new. For Peter, a vision of God's kingdom where there is no Jew or Gentile, but all are one in Jesus' family, the church. And for Cornelius, a vision of God's kingdom where Jesus reigns as king. At the beginning, Cornelius prayed to God, but he didn't know Jesus. So both Peter and Cornelius are called somewhere new. So just coming back to where I started, I said what I wanted for us this morning, my prayer for us this morning, is that we'd all have a bigger vision of God's kingdom, of what it means to step out in faith and follow Jesus. And I think there's a challenge and an encouragement for us this morning. A big challenge and a big encouragement. The challenge is this, to live out the bigger vision of God's kingdom in a way that's prophetic in our world. There's some scary stuff happening in our world right now. There's some scary stuff happening in our nation, in our communities. Anxiety, division, tension, and the Christian faith, actually, I've seen it misused in some really outrageous ways over the past weeks. So there's a big challenge for us here. How can we act and speak in ways that share God's kingdom? And remember, God's kingdom is where Jesus reigns as king because our highest allegiance is Jesus. So it's not kind of bringing Jesus as king into any other ideology. It's that those all sit under our allegiance to Jesus. And actually, when our allegiance is to Jesus, it should sort out some of the other differences that we have when Jesus is first. So how can we act and speak in ways that share God's kingdom, where we're neither separating ourselves off — that was kind of the challenge to Peter, don't separate yourself off over here — but we're also not speaking of inclusion in a way where we're saying actually anything goes, because that's not what the Bible says. The way of Scripture is not the way of anything goes, it's the way of Jesus. So that's the big challenge for us this morning. And I think the starting point is being prepared to go somewhere new ourselves. And that's scary. That's kind of why I started. Actually, a lot of us want to know all the detail before we'll kind of go. But we need to be prepared to be disrupted in a good way. Jesus is disruptive. Within the church, we often attach things to being a Christian that are not actually there in Scripture. If we're a Christian, expecting that people will be like us in all sorts of ways, that actually being a Christian is choosing to to follow Jesus. It's not dressing a particular way or worshipping in a particular way or whatever it might be. But often we bolt some of these things onto, well, this is what Christianity looks like. Actually, what Christianity looks like, I don't think I can lift it up, it's heavy. This is what Christianity looks like. Yeah, following Jesus. So are we open to God challenging us on our particular norms, to disrupting the status quo, perhaps even in our community here at Elmden? Are we open to God challenging our ways of doing things? Remember, both Peter and Cornelius went somewhere new. And that beautiful story of the good news of Jesus Christ going out involved both of them going somewhere new. So that's the challenge, big challenge, but hopefully one that you'll join me in trying to take up. The encouragement is this, and I think it's a big encouragement, to be expectant that the Holy Spirit will move in power, working in and through us. In and through you, and in and through me. Are you expectant that the Holy Spirit will work in and through you? I can think of several moments from this week where it's felt like the Holy Spirit has done something remarkable. Several of them I can't share with you because they're other people's stories, but this one I can. I was praying with someone during the week, another church leader, and as I was praying with them, it was someone I'd never met before. It was the first time I'd met with them, and we were praying together. And as I was praying, I just felt the Lord prompting me to share with them from 2 Chronicles, where Solomon is building the temple. Now, the Bible's a big book, and I wouldn't say that 2 Chronicles is my go-to verse for kind of sharing. Here's some encouragement from your day for your day from 2 Chronicles. I just want to encourage you with the story of Solomon building the temple. It's not my kind of go-to, but I just felt the Lord really say, no, that's what I want you to share. And like it's the Bible, I'm always kind of a bit wary when you kind of share any other kind of word. You need to kind of hold that carefully. But I was just offering some scripture, just saying this scripture came to mind, take it or leave it. And the person I was praying with, they said, it's really funny that you should share that scripture because they were leading a church plant and that scripture was really relevant to their church plant and to their vision in their church plant. We then had a conversation from there. And so that's just a tiny little example. I had no clue about, this is the first time I met this person. We prayed together and the Lord put this scripture on my heart. I shared it and it spoke into their situation. And it's not one of those kind of scriptures that speaks into every situation. And the Lord used that. And that's just one tiny example. I could give you another half a dozen from the last week. I have to say, not every week is quite that full of sort of the Holy Spirit moving in power. But the Holy Spirit does move in power. Like when we trust God, impossible things happen. Do you expect impossible things to happen? So I'd like to encourage all of us this morning to be expectant, to expect the Holy Spirit to work through ye, to break down barriers in order that lives and communities might be transformed by the power of the gospel. So if you remember nothing else, when you go home and think, hang on, what was the reading this morning? Okay, it was Acts 10, Peter and Cornelius. And what did Becca say? Like, I just want you to remember one thing, which is, or to kind of think of one thing, which is the challenge to have a bigger vision of God's kingdom. Because God is so much better than we can wrap our heads around and is so much greater than we can wrap our heads around. And he wants to use you and me to serve his kingdom purposes in the world. So leave with that this morning. If you leave with nothing else, I invite you to have a bigger vision of God and what he can do in and through and with you and us. Amen. So I'm just going to ask Joyce if she can start playing the introduction to Love Divine. And as you're comfortable, if you stand with me, I just wonder if we might just have a few moments responding in a reflective way as Joyce begins to play. I'm going to pray. Joyce is going to play. Do stand with me as you are comfortable. I think it would just be good to to remember how loved we are by the Lord, that the Lord needs each one of us in his kingdom. Do stand with me as you are comfortable and able. That we each have a part to play, that the kingdom of God is a kingdom where there's no Jew and no Gentile, no other divisions. It's people united around allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. So just remember that. You're important. You're needed. And then to think about and ask the Holy Spirit to help you to live for Jesus, to show you the places where he's calling you to go in his name, in order that the good news of Jesus Christ might bring transformation in all of our relationships, our individual relationships, the communities of which we're part, and in our world, as barriers are broken down in Jesus' name. So let's sing together.